Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Premier League podcast, episode number 124. There's a smell of championship in the air, and things kicked off in Munster with a bang at the weekend, with the All-Ireland champions Limerick overcoming the league champions Clare, and Davy Fitz back on top in Waterford with, a surprising win over Cork. There's plenty to discuss, and, you know, in draws gone right and wrong, plenty of good underage things happening, you know, a bit of success there. I'm joined by a big panel tonight, so we'll jump straight into lads. I'm joined by Mike, Sean, Enda, and Colm here. So all parts of the county represented. Tipperary hosted, I suppose, the home of the All-Ireland champions Limerick on Sunday there after a good win. Enda, we'll come to you first for your impressions. Are you optimistic now going in to Sunday, or is it we're just going to have to grin and bear it?
I don't know what way to be honest. Looking at the way the league has worked out for a lot of counties, you can't really be putting too much stock in it, good or bad or indifferent. Like we say it nearly every year, and we're often shocked then when championship comes around and the league form goes out the window. And it's been that way for at least as long as I can remember, for the most part, apart from Limerick, really. So, and even when they've done well some years, you know, they've been poor in the league as well. So it really doesn't give you the full barometer of where teams are at. And you just don't know what way they're facing into the league and whether they have any interest in hurling well, or they're just using it to try different players, put legs into lads. Am I optimistic? I'm generally always optimistic when it comes to tip hurling, but I have to say I wouldn't be optimistic of a win this weekend, but I still have optimism that we could get into the top three.
It looks like a level enough playing field, but you know, I suppose time passes and it is the league, so it does come with a caveat now, but we were very bad against Clare in the league semi, you know?
Very bad. It's hard to put your finger on it as well, because, you know, at the start of the second half, we were coming. I think we got the first 3 or 4 points of the second half, and we had it knocked down to 2 or 3 points, and just all the steam came out of it. Having said that, it's still just, you know, just having the back of my head always, it's still the league. You know, Limerick had an absolute stinker against Kilkenny. Didn't play particularly well against Clare, but still got the win. Was it 3 out of 4 National Football League winners lost their first provincial match after winning the league title. Clare obviously lost their first match after winning the league 2 weeks ago, so I think it's basically the start of the season is when Munster Championship and Championship in general comes around. Until
yeah,
then,
league you form, have to isn't worth the proverbial, is it?
It's not, like, it really isn't, and the evidence for that, it's been like this for a good few years, like, so. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be good. We could be worse, like, I don't know, like, so.
Call him a resident class half full, man. Put us in the mood for Sunday now.
Well, Kevin,
What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the ticket that I just got, which has me in the center of the field, and I'm hoping I'm surrounded by a big tip crowd down there. But maybe just to expand a little bit
It's
on
well
Enda's
over
point,
6 foot.
just to expand a little bit on Enda's point, maybe, and I absolutely take the point about the league, and we saw in hurling and football last weekend, league champions losing, and the Clare game, to be honest with you, was an abomination, Kevin. It was a terrible performance, and like as supporters or as fans, like you go along to see your team and you support them through thick and thin, and I get all of that. But really, that was a very disheartening performance, that league semi-final. And I repeat myself, I take the point, it was only the league. But so if we disregard that for a second and we go back to our last two championship matches, so we go back to the end of last June against Galway, very, very disappointing display again. And the game before that against Waterford and Thurles, where we had, we were on sort of a Cal bounce at that stage. We had just drawn with Limerick. We had drawn with Cork and played well and had beaten Clare the first day out. And so to go on the last two championship performances, really, really disappointing. The last league performance, disappointing. And actually, the league campaign in general for me was disappointing because I think we only hurled in fits and starts and never really had any momentum into our game. And the last thing I'd say about this is, I think the last pod we did, probably around the start of the league, I think we were all in agreement. You asked the question, what would we like at the end of the league? And I think we all said we'd like it to have a settled team going into the championship, the first round of the championship. We'd like to know who our 1, 3, 6, 8, 9, 11, 14 was. And I know, and you said it yourself before we came on air tonight, the five of us could write down a team now, and I guarantee you we'd have five different teams, and not just five different teams with one or two players. I'd say five different teams with five or six different players in the team. So they're my concerns for Sunday. We don't have a settled team. We're not coming into the game with any form. We were chatting among ourselves on Sunday whether or not we thought it was a good thing that Limerick won last Sunday, or would it have been better for us if they'd lost? I actually think it would have been better if they lost because I think it would have put more doubts into their heads going in on Sunday. Take the point that they might have been a bit more ravenous or whatever the word is at the start of the game, but I still think I'd rather have been playing Limerick with more doubts in their head. I think last Sunday would have brought them on a hell of a lot. So there's my glass half full statements for the night, Kevin. I hope that's enough to get stuck into on me.
A fairly small glass, I'd say there, looking at it. But right. I mean, Mike and Sean there, you'd have your kind of you're closer to the ground than I. But can you ever remember as much uncertainty over a tip 15, two or three nights out from away from it being named now in modern times?
I'd say you probably have to go back to Babs's second coming there, 05,
Jesus.
06 time. Well, when Sheedy came in, obviously he put in the younger lads, and you got fairly settled then after that, and that carried on then until, I suppose, maybe even the Colin Bonner era. Did we know going into the Colin Bonner Championship whether what team was what? But yeah, I think like what Colin said there about having a settled team, maybe in Liam Cahill's head, the team is settled as in those positions, just because maybe we don't agree with it. He probably, Ronan played number three for the most of the league. Robert Byrne probably played four out of the six games at six. I would imagine Jason Ford is his number 14, Garrod O'Connor at 11, or certainly in that half forward line. So maybe in Liam Cahill's head, it's sorted, but yeah, I don't know what way it's going to go. I it's very hard to call. And Limerick having the game under their belt, they certainly look ring rusty on Sunday for a lot of the game. But that can happen in the first round of championship, and like it's our first game this weekend, after 4 weeks. So we do need to hit the ground running. We can't let them build up a lead, I suppose. But then, we don't. It normally doesn't sit well with us that we're ahead of Limerick going into a second half. So, it's a very hard game to call, and the team selection will be interesting.
Yeah, and Sean, I know that they were, like Garrod Hegarty in the interview is very polished kind of afterwards, like I said, oh, we always trusted the process and all the rest of it, all the usual kind of things that they come out with. But like they're going to come out with a rocket under themselves now on Sunday for a quick start, aren't they? Because The first 15 minutes, just looking back, they were very poor. I think there was, they didn't, you know, they started better the second half, and they said, you know, we said, oh, yeah, this is the third quarter thing coming. But I don't think they scored for the first 8 or 9 minutes of that second half.
No, I didn't, Kevin. Like, and even looking at the score, kind of look at it again twice and it finished up. And Limerick only got 15 points, like, 8 at half time, 7, was 7 in the second half. Like, for Limerick team to score that and win, you're kind of wondering what the hell happened. Like, it's just class by Clare, but Limerick looked off. Like, they weren't hitting a 25, 30 points. They weren't hitting shots to goals. Again, like a rocket up their arse. Again, Clare could have prevented them goals, drew with square balls. Like, it wasn't like Limerick pulled away in the end. Like, a few lucky decisions again. Goals and Ennis balls drop in. Reminded me of last year when the Morris or was a sideline dropped into the net. Like, you know, goal has to come for them. But from our point of view, we're tip, like, I don't know what team we're kind of talking here there about what team Tip are going to pick. And even the goalie, like, either Shelling goes, but it could be Hogan. So, like, we don't know. And the whole way down line is going to be the same. But I just know that the players that go out then. I suppose they had a good week away there and a camp, you know, and everything went well and there's no major injury to report there that weren't already known, so everything kind of coming right. But trying to pick our team, is Cal going to surprise with something pure left field altogether and maybe not play lads that have played out of the league and throw in their lads? But to me, like, I'd have Rowan in six, to be honest. But then who do you put three? Just the problem, like. But Byrne has the jersey six or six sewn up, to be honest, from what we've seen in the league. Like, no one else even got in there.
Yeah, and there's a few positions you can see no one really threw down a marker. Look, they did throw the castanet far and wide really in the league and in the prelim competitions, but most of those lads, I think Billy Seymour, probably Willie Connors or two that have made a good impression, maybe might feature, but you know, has anyone really else put their hand up that you could class as a find? To be the Sean's, maybe.
Yeah, Sean Kennelly was okay in patches. Sean Hayes didn't really get a chance till towards the end of the league, so they're still fairly green, you have to say. It's not really a good place to be going into when you're not too sure. I think it's more in the forwards, I think, isn't it? So you're going to have one, like, you're going to have Jason Ford, Jake Mars, if he's fit, Mark Yeo, Garrod O'Connor. I think there's two forward positions to be got there. Are you going to start Noel from the start? I'd say you're likely going to start Noel. You're not going to start Bonner and Noel, so Bonner probably won't be starting. So there's a lot of combinations you could use. No, there's talent there from players, but they just haven't shown it in a tip jersey consistently, you know?
Is this game, I'm going to throw this out there, lads. I think the pivotal game in the whole Munster Championship, looking at how the first round of fixtures have gone now, is Tipperary Waterford on the Maybank holiday weekend. Because, you know, I think Limerick now they've Waterford in the last round of games. And, you know, that could be actually a second string Limerick with them through. You know, so Waterford have an absolute great chance of qualifying. So I think Tip have to beat Waterford to have any chance on Saturday week. So We you know, like, do we give it a go? Well, obviously, look, we give it a full go against Limerick, but do we have to kind of take the two games? Kind of, it's a short enough recovery period, like, and really go hell for leather against Waterford now.
Yeah, I think that's it's certainly. I doubt there'll be anyone thinking that way, Kevin. But, like what you're saying is right. I mean, either Clare or Cork are going to be on 0 points, bear a draw. Before we poke a ball, you know, and 4 points historically has qualified somebody, but it probably comes down to points difference, you know. But like looking at the fixtures, we've Cork coming to town, and we have to go, and we have Clare coming to town, and with the way the results go, and if Clare don't get a result in Cork, they're probably coming to Turles on the last day looking to qualify by beating us, and it'll probably be the same for us, maybe, that we're needing that result to qualify, because even on 4 points going into that game, they'll have you on the head-to-head if they beat you, you know. So it's obviously all the games are important, but not winning the first one isn't a huge thing as long as you're confident of winning the rest of them, you know.
A performance is a must, Mike.
Performance is huge. Yeah,
that's the bare essential. Like if we get whipped in the first game against Limerick, I'd say it's curtains for us.
Yeah, like I think this is akin to 2007, and if you remember, there was like 12,000 in Thurles when we were playing Cork, because the general public just didn't have any affinity with the team. And if we go down badly on Sunday, I can see that happening very quickly, especially when people can't go to Waterford anyway, because you know there's only 12,000 allowed down there or whatever. So you'll have two games where the public just won't be there, and they just, especially with two losses, like.
Yeah, I think it's maybe more optimistic here.
I think it's interesting, Kevin, you know, that we're talking about, you know, almost this being a free hit for us then, you know, that if we go well, great, you know, and we take that form and the big game is against Waterford. You know, that seems to be what we're saying. But I think, like, at the end of the day, we are Tipperary. Like, we can't be going, like, you know, no matter how glass half empty I am, there's always a bit of me that thinks a performance will come on Sunday. And I think a performance will come. It has to come. And it will come because, like, Liam Cahill, to be fair to him, and I know I referenced two games last year, but in general, Liam Cahill teams, whether it's been Tip Minors or 20s or 21s or Waterford, they're always ready for championship or you know, generally are ready for championship. And I've no doubt this team will be ready on Sunday for championship as well. Now, the unfortunate thing is that they're coming up against a four in a row winning Limerick team who have the game under their belt and are going for a five in a row this year. So, you know, even with a settled team, even with all the things that we have highlighted as being problems with Tip, even if all those things were fixed, this would still be a hell of a hard game to go down to and win, you know. And so, like, I take the point that, you know, maybe it's a bit of a free hit, but at the same time, I don't think Cal or the players, you know, I think Mike is saying the same thing. I don't think the players or Cal will be thinking that. I think they'll be going down there hoping and expecting to win. And I mean, I'm going down there expecting a massive performance from them. And like, what you'd like to see is not a repeat of what's happened previously against Limerick, where we started well and then after halftime we get blown away. I think if that happens again, then, you know, you are going to be holding your head in your hands going, you know, like the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again. Why is this happening? Like, you know, and even at that, I think a few things that have probably annoyed, you know, the Tip hurling public or whatever we want to call ourselves is, you know, some of the tactics, the concession of puck outs, you know, that we saw against Waterford last year. We saw it against Galway. We saw it against Clare in the league semi-final there. You know, that sort of thing, that's kind of alienated people, their view maybe the team a little bit. And I know Liam has been out and he's asked the Tip public to stick by the team. I think by and large the Tip public have stuck by the team up to now. There was a good crowd in Portlaoise, certainly more Tip people than Clare people in Portlaoise. As I said, it was a big crowd in Thurles last year for the Waterford game. There was a big crowd in Limerick for the Galway game last year. You know, so I think in fairness to the Tip public, they have stuck by the team. But we probably need something back from the team now, and that's, you know, at a minimum that's a big performance on Sunday.
But the thing is, on Sunday the players, like, whatever team Liam picks, and to be honest, say five of us here could pick, try and pick 15 or probably won't get it right. You might get 15, but position wise having a chance. But them players probably know that, like, if they don't perform on Sunday, like, they might get back into the team again, because there is four or five, six lads can slot in. Like, a lot of them positions are 50-50 from looking at them here, you know. So, like, the players have to put a performance. They might get onto that field again in this championship. Go down to Waterford, like, again, just thinking the worst case scenario, lose two and, like, kind of back to the wall again in two home games. And you don't want to have to, what, beat a Clare team last day and perilous with momentum, maybe with Clare rather than with us and having to win that to stay in. But we don't want to be in them positions. He said, good performance is key Sunday and it brings something to Waterford then. Like, that's, like, I started here, I was confident, not confident, but going to Walsh Park, I said it wasn't the worst to go. I'd rather go there than go to Ennis.
I think it would have been better for Tip. I was saying this in the group to you before the weekend, if Clare won. Because then you would have got, you know, we're kind of saying it's a free hit now because Limerick have won their first game. But we probably would have had most of the heavy work done if Limerick had lost to Clare. And if we could have went and beaten Limerick in Limerick, like, they'd have been nearly as good as out. We were saying 4 points might get you through, but they would have been under serious pressure. And that was a serious a serious thing to have going to Limerick, like with that Liam Cahill telling the players, like, if we win this game, we not only get the monkey off our back with Limerick, but we can potentially knock them out of the championship and open the whole Munster and All-Ireland championship open. Only for Clare filling the togs, we'd be in that position coming up to this week. Like, so, like, Limerick didn't play well. Like, I mean, I know, like, the media love Limerick and other this or that and the other, but that's as bad as I've seen Limerick play pre John Kiely. They were playing off the pitch 50, 55 minutes.
Well, I 100% agree with that. And I don't think this thing of Limerick won that match. Clare lost that match. They were by far the better team for 57 minutes. And it was a goalkeeper capitulation and I would say maybe tis Clare need Caroline Curran, because the minute the goals went in, their heads went on the floor. And that, like, I think Limerick only scored 3-2 though in the last 50, we'll say from the 57 minute to the 73rd or 4th minute. So like, that's not exactly finishing the game with a flourish either, like, you know. But like, Clare have huge problems goalkeeping wise. Like, Ava Quilligan was just not good at the weekend. But like, Clare played them perfectly. They nullified the Limerick midfield. Like, Will O'Donoghue was taken off. Paul O'Neill played the first half there, I think, and then Keane Lynch the second half. Lynch had a very good game work wise, but I thought that's exactly what Tip need to do. They need to, like, really bring bodies into that middle third, and like I that's why I was saying earlier on that Alan Tynan and Connor Stakelam could possibly be the wing forwards, because they're just, it's that work rate and that aggression that we need around the middle of the field. Just, I think Will O'Donoghue is hugely important to what Limerick do, and if you can stop him, you go a long way to kind of like stopping the ball going into the good ball going into Limerick forwards. Now, I think John Kiely suffered a little bit last week from what we maybe give out about Liam Sheedy there in the COVID years. Like, Donegal Dalig had a very, very good league and left him on the bench and brought back in Flanagan, and like, Flanagan was terrible. And now, will he learn his lesson the next day? Like, O'Dolly came on, scored 1-1, and should have got another goal. He had it in the net before he had it caught, you know. And I thought Adam English was very, very good when he came on, and Conor Boylan. So it'll be interesting to see what team he picks. Will he learn from that as well? But
Casey has come back as well,
and Casey is going to come back. Like, he'll come straight back in.
Yeah, I'd say Flanagan was probably the big loser from that 15. Maybe on Sunday, He didn't look on it at all. I disagree with you though. I think Limerick winning is very beneficial, because I don't think there's much at all between the other four teams in Munster. Cork probably put up on a pedestal. You know, it was maybe like, you know, in all the predictions, the three to qualify with Limerick and Clare as a given, and Cork probably were getting most people, you know, the thumbs up for most people, just to kind of take it, like, not much.
How strange was that? Like, They bet Wexford and Offaly. Is that their last two league matches?
Yeah.
They bet Wexford and Offaly, and all of a sudden they're coming out of Munster. Did you ever hear anything as lazy as the punditry coming after that?
And probably put the worst 25, 30 minutes of hurling of any county in the whole league in that first half against Kilkenny, when they got, was it 2 points in 25 minutes or something?
Yeah. And but I think desperate against Clare as well.
How bad Tip were and Waterford were in the league. You know, were people putting them through by default? Because they don't look like they've kicked on at all. You know, the same old failings came back. And I think you said it about not starting Noel and Bonner together. But yeah, Cork made a big mistake. They're probably arguably, like, you know, starting all their season players.
I know Pat Horgan's been an absolutely unbelievable player for Cork. And as the old saying goes, he owes them nothing. Like, but my God, like, how would they stay starting him match after match just to hit freeze? Like, I mean, he's just not contributed enough anymore. Like, and I can't get over it. Pat Ryan is shooting himself in the foot with the team selections. Like, they have so many good players that have come from those under-20 teams sitting on the bench looking at Pat Horgan and Conor Leahan, untouchables. Like, I think the only one of those you can start with Seamus Arnott, because he can still get around the pitch and win ball. And I just I this at this stage, you could see that Pat Ryan set out the year and he was going to play Pat Horgan in every game, and he was a certainty to start. Like, there was no game he didn't play. So it was kind of reminded me, I just felt myself that it was like the Sheedy years, 2021, where he was just refusing to put in any of the young lads. And I think Cork are falling into that trap now. And I'm kind of looking up and going, oh, you poor creators are going to have another 2 or 3 years of this before you have any of your younger players coming in and getting a good crack at the whip.
Yeah.
But as you say, like, how good are Waterford then if Cork are still that watery and that bad and they're still only 3 points away from them? So, as you say,
really barren goal. They got a, you know, perfect start. Yeah. And they just kept that. Right, sometimes it went out to 6 points or whatever. Cork got it. I think it was level at one stage, but it was just always seems to be that kind of three point kind of gap between the two of them. Obviously, look, a few refereeing decisions, Waterford on the, like got the rub of the green there, but like, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot between them in the whole game.
Yeah,
well, the black card penalty, I think, was a terrible decision though. That went against Cork. It was certainly a free and probably a yellow card, but the goal scoring opportunity was gone. So, like, yeah. I don't think that should have been a black card penalty. But,
I'd say the second yellow was. I think there's this higher look. I think there's a higher threshold for a second yellow for the center.
I don't know. I think Damien Callum must be brain dead. I mean, I think that's the third time he's been sent off for Cork, and it's been 6 yellow cards. You know, he's on a yellow, he's playing fullback, comes out from behind and he slaps across the wrists. I mean, that's crazy stuff. In a fullback line, that just isn't going well anyway. Like, I don't know, one of the downies just has to go into fullback, because I couldn't see how he could pick Damien Callahan to play fullback again this weekend. It would be madness.
I could see it happening all the same.
I hope they do. Keep Cork down. That's
Yeah. Call them your view on Waterford. We know how you love them, the neutral team.
Well, as you know, lads, I fancied them last week, all the week. I thought they'd win when I saw the two teams and when they were announced, and I saw Harnedy and Horgan and what's his face starting for Cork, the three older guys. I thought this isn't good for Cork. I said that they don't trust their young guys, and they're going back to the tried and tested that have failed all along for them. So, and when you'd actually looked at the Waterford team, it was quite a strong team, Kevin, and they had a bench as well. You know, so the only thing I thought that might beat Waterford would be their manager. And, you know, to see him at the end, I mean, I don't know, did he look for the cameras before he jumped down on the ground and thanked God and thanked Allah and thanked everybody else? It was a very, very, it looked very, very choreographed to me anyway. But in fairness to them, look, they shot, what, 225? And maybe it's a lesson for Tip, two lessons for Tip for Sunday. First of all, games take on a life of their own, don't they? And that game sort of took on a life of its own in the last few minutes. And second of all, for Tip, you mentioned earlier, if we start Noel and we start Bonner and we start maybe a couple of the older guys, if that team is named on Thursday or Friday night and we see that, do we also think, Jesus, have we learned anything? Are we going back to the sort of tried and tested and guys who were brilliant maybe in 2019, but in 2022, 2023, you know, haven't done it for us? Like, so, you know, look, fair play to Waterford. I think they'll need to back it up. They'll be on a high coming in against us on the second day, and that's why we really need a performance on Sunday. Just to go back to Tip, we need a performance. I wouldn't like to be going down there sort of with our tails between our legs having...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You know, being beaten 7, 8, 10 points by Limerick, I think that would be a very, very difficult position for us to be in, because they will smell, they'll smell blood then, and they'll go for us, like, you know. And one thing that they have as well, Limerick have it, Cork have it, I think that's why we put Cork on a pedestal, is they have a lot of pace around the team. We don't have that. And, you know, you look at some of the team selections that, you know, we've all mentioned about, even for Tip on Sunday, lads, like, we're still very short on pace there, you know, and that has to be a worry. Mike has mentioned a couple of guys who came on for Limerick last Sunday. They'll run amok if they're given an opportunity pace wise on us, and that would concern me. Just on Cork as well, young Connolly looks like a fine forward. You know, he really is a, you know, he's a lovely hurler to watch. He's the type of corner forward I really like. He gets out in front of his man. He puts the head down. He takes the man on. He goes for goal. You know, maybe. It's the type of forward we're slightly missing. Jake, yeah, to an extent we have Jake. But, and that's the other thing. You know, Mike was talking about the Babs era earlier on. And one thing I always felt in the Babs era, at least we had Owen Kelly. You know, he would carry us so far. I'd worry, where is our firepower really on Sunday? I don't know what the lads think about that. Like, who is going to really grab the game by the scruff of the neck and win it for us? I don't know if the lads have any take on that.
You need Jack Morris and Mark Yeo to really be on point. I think Jason will come back and he'll be absolutely desperate to get that stinker of a league semi-final out of the system, because I'm watching Jason play since he's 13, 14 years of age. I've never seen him play as bad, ever. Definitely not in a Tip jersey. And I wouldn't see that happening again. Jason, I think, will be ready. And in fairness to Jake, he's started to deliver a bit of consistency that he didn't have to. Like, he's on the panel now. Is this his sixth year on the panel?
He's starting 2019, was it?
I think he 2018, wasn't he?
Came on. Yeah, he hit the post against Clare, if you remember, in 18.
He's 7th year, so yeah. He's actually starting to step up, in fairness to him. And Mark Yeo needs to do the same. They're both the same age. They're starting to come into that age right now where they're going to have to start taking on a lot of the responsibility in the forwards. And in fairness, if the two of them are inside and the right ball's going into them, I think they'd be very hard to handle. And like, Limerick are coughing up a lot of goal chances. Like, they conceded one goal the other day, but Clare should have left two, if not three, goals behind them. And they're fairly open back there. So we'd be looking at maybe them trying to exploit that. But I agree with you. We're going to need the two of them and Jason and Gerard O'Connor to be shooting heavy. Because, as Mike was saying, you're probably going to have Alan Tynan and Conor Stakelam on the wings. What, Willie Connors, maybe on Connolly in the middle of the field. Not heavy scoring players. So the four of them are going to need to chip in a big way.
Yeah, like Connor there, like, he's a monster of man. Like, he should be on song again. Again, the Clare game was quite different from a lot of memory, because it was awful, like, the shooting that day or scored missed left, right. But O'Connor on, like, if he can get right and win ball, he's a monster, man. Like, you can see him standing beside Rowan, these are not that big lads, and he's way above him. But if he can get shooting boots on, like, he'll need to chip in 4 or 5 points, because you say, like, we have a lot of lads that might be great work and win the ball, but, like, we need scores, like, and we're going to score heavy, I think. Like, Limerick aren't going to come away at 15 points again this weekend. They're not. They're going to hit their usual 25-30.
Yeah, and we concede heavy. So we're going to have to score heavy. And the thing with Gerard O'Connor is he started league very well, but I think the amount of matches caught up with him by the end of the league.
Yeah, and I think the Limerick game, the Limerick league game, I think he was particularly poor.
He's playing a lot of hurling, and I'd say maybe he'll have had, I know they'll still have been training hard and at the training camp, but maybe he's had a chance to refresh now and recalibrate for it. And if he can get into the form that he was in prior to the run to Fitzgibbon Cup, like, he's going to be a big asset. Be actually interesting. I assume they'll put Jason back on the freeze But like, he had an absolute mare against Clare. But I assume they'd put him back on him. But it's there are two good options to have for frees there. So,
Like, in fairness, they are two gold standard options for frees. And, like, it
they
was so
are.
strange to see one of them misfire against Clare. And then, I mean, like, it was like the other was as bad then, you know? It was just. But I
End
put
up
a lot of
hitting
money
freeze
in.
Linda like there, poor Leash, on it. So he was, they called you wrong from the stand, Linda. Hit one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put money that Jason will never have as bad a day
Yeah, well,
on
I mean,
Clare or for freeze again.
in the same way that one swallow doesn't make a summer, one bad game on the frees for Jason isn't his form, and I think he, like you mean he's a dead eye 90-95% shooter on frees all his life, like not just in a tip jersey. So I wouldn't have any concerns about that. Garrod O'Connor, Sean was talking about him there, like. But Garrod O'Connor, as big as tall as he is a gentle giant, really. You know, he's a hurler rather than, let's say, I'm, for want of a better word, a mullocker. He's not going to get stuck in and win ball on the ground, you know. But he's a very silky hurler, and if he can drift off Hannon a bit, maybe there at centre forward, he might be able to get on a bit of ball. And he is good from long range, which is something we don't have in our locker, like.
Especially if Noel isn't certain.
Yeah, especially if Noel isn't certain. Yeah, with Sean Ryan and Sean Kennelly are two that'll, but they're probably two that'll be sprung like for legs in the last 20 minutes and told to go running. But Mark Yeo is the one for me. And like one of you said there about I think it was you, Wenda, about Jake, and he's consistent. Mark Yeo shows flashes of brilliance and then terrible stuff, and he needs to get more consistent because I think he's excellent. Like he's probably a better inter-county forward than he is a club forward, but he needs to be more consistent every game and show it because I think he actually has it. And I mean, if you go back to his UCC days, he was top class in the Fitzgibbon and nearly unmarkable for a while. So I'd really like to see him have a good day.
And if I
Yeah,
was
well,
in
it's.
the if I was in the mood for another preview, Mike, would you anything on the agenda maybe before the Tip Limerick game? You might be interested in.
Oh, no, Seamus plug for the championship
Yes,
preview in
exactly. Him
Cavanaugh
maybe.
on Saturday night. The only reason I'm here, Kevin, it's the only reason I'm here. Yeah, the old cast of Anthony Daly's podcast. I know you're big fans of Mark Landers and TJ and Anthony Daly, Pat Ryan Simon from Dune, and our own Liam Sheedy are coming to town 8 o'clock on Saturday night in Cappagh. Should be a good all night. So if anyone's around, tickets are available online or on the door on the night.
Yeah, and I suppose look before like Leinster started, I suppose Munster was at boiling point or squib the cherry on the cake, I suppose, is the Wexford Dublin game ending in a draw, which every makes all the other matches relevant, I suppose, going forward. If there was a winner there, they'd be in pole position for that third place. It's more going to like Galway and Kilkenny, which they said is on 4 o'clock on. You know, is I'm sorry, is the RTE the other RTE game in Ireland, and that's been shown, and that's just going to be shadow box and Kilkenny already missing a few, but not a whole lot excited out there. Carlow pulling off at how they ran Galway the weekend, you know, to 9 points before 50 minutes gone. We're kind of four off.
It's shite. Let's be realistic. It's nearly as bad as the league in that you're kind of waiting for the group games to be over and done with, so as you can get down to the nitty gritty of it. Just the whole system is kind of wonky, isn't it, at the minute?
The
Like
only ones you
Galway.
feel sorry for there are Antrim and Carlow because both Wexford and Dublin are going to have to put up huge scores against them to Joe, because it's going to come down to score difference, I would imagine, in for that third place now. Bear, one of them think they're going to take a scalp off the other two, but like it'll only be shadow boxing on Sunday between Kilkenny and Galway because they know they're going to meet in the final, I would imagine.
Absolutely, yeah. To be fair to Antrim, I'd say I think a few lads have come back, haven't they? A few of the
Yeah,
Dunmany
Kilkenny going
lads,
for five in a row.
Keelan Mullally,
A
He
few
didn't
elements
start
like
though at
that.
the weekend, I think, didn't he? They
Yeah,
were just.
I was thinking that. I'd say they're just targeting the home games. I think they're just, look, we need to stay in the division, stay in Liam McCarthy, and our home games are obviously going to be big. Who are they playing this weekend? Are they playing Dublin this weekend?
I think they're playing Wexford, and I think
It's
Antrim are playing
Wexford
Wexford
above in
in
Belfast.
Belfast. Yeah, and I mean,
Yeah.
I'd say being a Wexford supporter must be very, very frustrating. I mean, like that game won twice on Sunday, didn't they? Like they were what? They were 5 points in front going into injury time. They conceded a goal to bring it back to 2 points, then struck a point to go three up, and then conceded a goal. And it was a great goal actually by Keane O'Sullivan, the Dublin
Keane
guy. It was a
O'Sullivan, yeah.
It's a lovely pickup, Mike, and snapped it up and buried it, like, so, but again, you'd be very frustrated, I think, as a Wexford fan. They're as likely to beat Kilkenny in the championship as they are Dublin, funnily enough. They could go to Nolan Park and beat the Cats, whereas Dublin come down and they struggle to get a result against them. So, very frustrating. But again, look, as you've said, Kilkenny dishing out a hammer into Antrim, Galway dishing out a hammer into Carlow. Like, you'd wonder how much longer that can go on for. And then meanwhile, over in Munster, it's dog eat dog, effectively. I know we've had this conversation so many times, but two of the top five or six teams are going to be knocked out, by first or second week in May. And I know it's not for tonight to discuss, but like, it really is something that will have to be eventually tackled by somebody with a lot more insight into this than me. But it just doesn't seem right. But look, it is what it is at the moment, I suppose.
Yeah, but what I'll say on that column is that you're dead right in what you're saying, and it's totally lopsided. But none of us here, I would imagine, would change it. We're not going to give up a Munster championship. So, like, unless we're going to opt for an open draw between all 12 teams, what we have is what we're going to have for the rest of our lives. Like, because there's no Munster team going to give up the Munster championship, not
Ask me
on their life.
that on Sunday evening, Mike, and some Limerick fella balls into me ear. I might be delighted to feck off into Leinster, to be honest with you, and play Carlow and Wexford and the rest of them. But and a big shout out, I suppose, to Sean Flynn of this parish as well, who I know is involved with Laois, and they had a did a great win over Offaly in the Macdonagh Cup on Sunday. It was Sunday, yeah. And again, a cracker of a game. But you'd wonder and. I was away a lot on Sunday, just on some business, and like to have so many. Like, was there any need to have the Leinster games and the Munster games all on Sunday evening? Like, they could have put the Leinster Championship games maybe on the Saturday evening, shown one of them on the television or whatever. I don't know. Like, there seemed to be like a slew of games on Sunday. I just thought it was a bit strange, and even Saturday evening. And I know this would be sacrilege to some of you boys, but I wanted to watch the Cork and Kerry football game, because it was close and Cork were giving them a bit of a game, and you go in and you turn on and they're shagging rugby on, like, and again, I wonder about the promotion of the games and how this is done. And I have GAA Go myself, but again, I find sometimes the camera angles aren't brilliant, or it's buffering or whatever you call it a lot, and it just takes away from the enjoyment of it. But that's again, a complete other tangent that I'm going
I
down
think
now.
maybe for this month, and I think like they kind of give both codes 50-50, whereas I think this is hurling's time. But I also think they probably have to look at the Friday night just for a month while there's so much games on. You could have a big television affair on a Friday night, maybe move the Ulster football or to the Friday night or whatever, or like that hurling game, as they said, the Leinster hurling game. Just be a bit kind of, try. There needs to be a new slot rather than the kind of like the three slots there generally that are the Saturday evening game and the two on the Sunday, like, because yeah, there is a lot going on. As I said, even that Ulster football game that was on Saturday evening was good, but the football doesn't get going until the Super Eights. And even then, that's three out of four go through. Like, this is hurling's time. Like, to say that the Waterford Cork game, again, it was on GAA Go, but that should have been on RTE or whatever. That would have announced the championship. I know, look, we're all Munster hurling fanboys and all that, like, but yeah, for me, that's the marquee competition at this time of year.
Yeah, okay. I know what you're saying. I would disagree in that not every game can be on telly as much as we want them to be, and I think the Mayo and Roscommon people were as entitled to see their teams play at 4 o'clock on
But Mike, now,
Sundays.
like, GAA Go, hardly every game can be on telly.
Or
can be, but
are on
like,
a stream, like, you know, it's
yeah,
like the
but
technology is
Mayo and
there.
Roscommon were as entitled to have their day on RTE as what Waterford and Cork were.
But I think, you know, they'll get plenty of days when their Super 8 start and there's no hurling on. You know,
And then
I
Mayor
think they're.
Roscommon were giving out on Twitter that the football coverage of Mayor Roscommon on the Sunday game wasn't there. You know, yet they want to show the hurling. Like, you can't win a ball. You can't win. Because at the end of the day, there's not enough coverage. That's the end of it.
No.
You know, it needs to be a Monday night TG4 style, just highlights. Or, you know, even do a Sky Sports do at the moment. The games are uploaded onto YouTube and they need to watch them. You know,
I
whatever.
think
That's the biggest issue.
the Saturday night games were screwed because whatever rugby package that they signed up to, they have to show, and it was like Munster and Leinster outside in South Africa or something, and there was like three people at the games because nobody cares about them out there either. But that was just the contract that they
There's a
have to show
DVD
on
of
it.
that one on the way as well, by the way.
Yeah.
There's a.
I was actually watching, I was in the pub and looking on, we're like trying a bit of hurling there or football. Oh, the rugby's on, and the stadium's fully empty. I do say it's just part of the contract, like showing the women's Six Nations and all them. You have to show and buy the package and you're caught then, like.
Yeah, but it's the lack of highlights. Like, they needed an extra highlight show. And remember, we were all like, oh yes, they're going to be doing one with Damien Lawler, and then it ended up in how many shows? Five?
Yeah.
Five of them, and then it was done. Like, and then
And I think
I don't know. Do you
didn't
listen to?
Virgin tank the Colin Parkinson
I was just
preview
about to
show
say
as
it.
well?
Just about to
Yeah.
say it. Yeah, they never got back to him, and that looked like it would be good. Fairness, I
Yeah.
know Parkinson's not everyone's cup of tea, but at least he does good coverage. In fairness to him, he gets on good guests, and you know it would have been very good to have on a Monday night. Jeez, I miss Shaw Sport, lads. The old make of it was absolutely class. I used to look forward to watching it.
Friday night show ended, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, we're missing. There's not enough coverage of GAA in general. Whatever about live games, there needs to be more preview shows.
Lads, you throw into the mix as well. We have to say that we're under 17, going very well.
Yeah, going right well. They've won all their games. First two rounds, and the under 20s are very well coached.
What's
And
that? What's that in the what's that called? I'm sorry, the under 20s have
the under
won both
20s are
of their
very well
games, have they?
coached. You know, we never
Despite
doubted
the
them. Like,
two the
they're
naysayers.
nobody in the
Well,
county doubted them, and all this. And,
look, yeah, look, I mean, I know this is a not a very veiled dig at me about the under 20s, but I
you're
mean,
outing
I
yourself now, Colin.
yeah. There was nobody happier, Michael, than me to see the under 20s win their opening two games. That's the first thing I'll say. Nobody happier to see them go down to Friar Field and win a game. I was absolutely delighted, and more power to them. And I hope they continue to win games. What I would say is, any criticism I had of the under 20 management was based on games that I saw last year, which were, you know, disappointing to say the least. That the style didn't appeal to me. The way they went about their business. I was down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. I saw them in Thurles a couple of times, and I wasn't too enamoured with the coaching style and the style of play that the lads were playing. Now, in fairness, this year they seem to have mixed up the style of play a little bit. I'm happy to see that. I would say they probably have played two of the weaker teams. Limerick certainly looked very, very poor at under 20 level. So, which I'm also equally delighted to be able to report that. You know, they don't seem to have a whole lot coming through. And, you know, as Kevin well knows, I'd always expect to go down and beat Waterford anyway. So I'm not going to, you know, dance too much about that one. I think the two bigger tests are against Cork and against Clare coming up. But absolutely delighted to see the under 20s go well, and long may it continue. But again, it goes back, Mike, to what we discussed a minute ago. And it, like, a lot of under 20 games, like, I used to love. You know, it's certainly 20 years ago, I remember going to Thurles on a Wednesday night in the summer to under 21 hurling matches, and they were absolutely brilliant. You know, you'd have huge crowds at them, you know, inter-county players playing, you know, senior inter-county players playing, huge crowds, huge razzmatazz attached to it. Whereas you look at the game in Friar Field in Dungarvan the other night, like, you know, pretty much an empty ground, you know, very little interest in it. Like, that's. You know, I understand the reasons as why that's happening around split seasons and all of that. But again, you know, I'm not sure. I'm just not really loving that format at the moment either. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I think that was more of a Waterford The malaise around the Waterford underage, I think that was more so. We were in Rathkeel. I remember I saw Mike across the way, all right, there in Rathkeel, and it was a serious venue. It was a great night for the hurling, actually, and there was a nice crowd at it. And it had a bit of pep about it when the match was in the melting pot in the first half and the start of the second half. I think it's more the malaise around Waterford and how bad they've been underage. And I'd say, geez, the Waterford crowd didn't even turn out much for their seniors the other day. So I think there's going to be very little hope for underage teams performing poorly.
They
But
do need a
no,
bandwagon though, so.
it's great to see Tip turning it around after. I agree completely with Colin. Like Tip, that Tip under 20 team, their last game against Clare, I was never as depressed leaving a Tip match in my life as I was leaving Thurles last year after losing that game. Jesus, the style of hurling was desperate altogether. I wouldn't even call it hurling, not to be honest. It just went too far in that direction of trying to hand pass the ball and run the ball from deep. And we've seen Limerick and are the masters out, and they've done it to great effect against Clare the other day in Ennis, but it just doesn't suit Tip hurlers. Like, it look, it's grand to have it in your locker when you need it, but when we go direct, as we've seen against Limerick in particular, when we go direct with ball, we got two goals out of it, if not three. So there is a place for it, and in fairness, the management looked like they've mixed it up nicely, and they've got some good players there who are all nearly underage again next year. So
Yeah,
it's very positive, yeah.
no, I agree. I think that's probably the good thing that's come out of it is maybe last year's poor showing was that they now do, and I suppose to be very good at the level, you have to mix it up a bit. You can't just play the same style because teams will work it out, and so we've ventured between the long ball and the short ball, and I think we played some good stuff. And like especially down in Limerick when we had Paddy McCormack on the edge of the square and we were able to give ball in and he was breaking it. I mean, I think it broke off him for the first Oisín O'Donoghue goal, and which he finished brilliantly. And I was very impressed with him in Rathkeel especially. I didn't get to down to Dungarvan because we were training, but I watched it on YouTube, and it Bear would say the 10 or 15 minutes just before half time, I thought we looked very, very much on top for all of the game. And I see some very good green shoots in that team. Like, I think Sam O'Farrell's an excellent guy there around the middle of the field. I think our own Conor Martin's doing very well at centre forward, and Toome's Darren McCarthy, like, he looks a real find for a guy that wasn't able to get on the minor team as a 17-year-old, and now he's the main man on a 20 team. And like Colm, you said there that these were the two weaker teams, but like these were the two. Waterford beat us in a semi-final as minors and beat us comprehensively by 9 points. So we've had an 18-point turnaround in this team as from 17 to 20. And Limerick were the other beaten semi-finalists by Cork in what 3 years ago and whatever it was, 21, and like this. Clare team were the Clare team that were beaten by 40 odd
40,
points
40
by
Cork,
Cork. So
yeah.
I mean, now look, they have hugely improved, and I think they might only have two or three guys that started that minor game, so they have gone with the younger guys as well. So, but like I do think this 20 team is they do look good now. Obviously Cork are the team, but they're without Ben O'Connor as well, which would be a huge loss for them. So it look at I think it'd be an interesting championship, but I mean, two wins from two, we couldn't have asked for better with guys. Well, actually, I mentioned Owen Horgan as well. I thought Owen Horgan has been excellent in the two games as
Yeah.
well, especially down in Limerick. I thought he was excellent, brought off a great save at the end, and his puck outs were probably the best performance of a Tip goalie I've seen so far this year. I thought he was really, really good, certainly one.
Senan Butler as well, Mike, just
Yeah,
from
Senan Butler at the
Kildare.
weekend or on Friday night was he looked
Sensational.
unstoppable.
Yeah.
Cathal English as well, as I think he's the most improved player in the county. Like he does, I don't even recognize him from the player he was at minor. He's come on some amount in terms of his hurling. And even his ball winning, even he was on that minor team to win ball, but his hands have come on an awful amount, and he's been very good in the two games. So there's players improving all over the pitch. That's a good group, and our minors are a very good group as well, and they're well touted to do well this year in the Munster and the All Ireland. So there is green shoots there, and there is players coming. There's no doubt.
That minor team looks very good, very well coached. Like Woody certainly has them, as Woody and Connor O'Brien there. They've done a great job with them. Some good lads around the place, and big strong guys as well, which we probably wouldn't have had previously on as 17-year-olds. Like so, yeah.
Definitely in the Camogie lads as well. Before we wrap up, you know, good league final. Or, you know, the more you win in Croke Park, the better.
It was a super day. No, I was up at it. It was great to see them, but they were delighted at the end of the match. I was talking to Dennis Kelly after, and you know, he was over the moon with it. Like, they've had a lot of disappointment over the years.
Disappointed into last year. Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, and in Croke Park in particular, in the last 5 or 6 years, they've gotten to semi-finals, and they've really not performed against the likes of Cork, Kilkenny, and Galway. And, you know, they finished the year really disappointingly against Waterford, and in the All-Ireland semi-final, they made an absolute hams of that. They should have been winning that game, and Waterford went on and got absolutely trimmed in the final. So, geez, they have a great team. They're now a lot of depth in that squad. They've got so many options there, and they won that league final without Cath Devan. So, like, she would have been the shining light for Tipp for a number of years. I think Colin mentioned that Owen Kelly was carrying the team back in the mid-2000s for the Tipp senior hurlers, and Cath Devan's been doing that up until recently. Really, she was the main score getter and the main player there. So, you know,
I'd
there's a
say
lot.
Karen Kennedy is going to take over that mantle now. She moving the move from centre back to full forward was huge on at the week
She's
on the league
she's
final.
unbelievable, the pace. I've never seen a Camogie player that fast. She wouldn't be out of place playing. She'd be faster than a lot of men. That's genuinely known in the club game anyway.
Well, we try getting her in, Enda. Nothing we can do.
Yeah,
But
she
she
was
like she
shouldn't
can change like against last year Nolan Park, like, she went up into the forward trying to
that
save the game, but
and
just want to
change
give her
the
the
game.
ball, and this year just gave her the ball and different, you know.
Yeah, she's unstoppable when she gets there, and you know, she took the goal very well for someone that hasn't been playing in the forwards too long. So, yeah, the Camogie's going well, and the minor Camogie's obviously won a semi-final last weekend, playing Waterford this weekend in the All-Ireland. So, you know, we're going well underage in all codes as well. The footballers are going well as well. The minors have won all their games. They're in the Darrell D'Arcy Cup final, and the under-20s have been going well. They lost to Cork the last day by 6 or 7 points, but they're very competitive, like, and there's some good footballers on the team. So, you know, the signs are good underage, and you know, we can't ask for too much more the way things are going at the minute. So hopefully it keeps going that direction.
Absolutely, yeah. I suppose as we go into the weekend, that might end on that good optimistic note, isn't it? Thanks, men. Sure, there's plenty more to discuss. Hopefully, we'll be back here next Monday celebrating the Tipp victory.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, lads. See you, lads.
Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.